Turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. The monks at a remote monastery deep in the woods followed a rigid vow of silence. Their vow could only be broken once a year on Christmas by one monk. The monk could only speak one sentence. One Christmas, Brother Thomas had his turn to speak and said, "I love the delightful mashed potatoes we have every year with the Christmas roast." Then he sat down. Silence ensued for 365 days. The next Christmas, Brother Michael got his turn and said, "I think the mashed potatoes are lumpy, and I truly despise them." Once again, silence ensued for 365 days. The following Christmas, Brother Paul rose and said, "I'm fed up with all this constant bickering." I suppose that it doesn't surprise you that Christians don't always get along. Hey, I want to tell you a story. I'm going to try to fit it into this teaching because I want to tell it. So I was in my backyard this last week, and I had my Bible there, and I was preparing for today's teaching. And if you've been to our house, we have arborvitae all around our backyard, and they're pretty tall. All of a sudden, a fight broke out between two squirrels. And I mean, they were going at it. And the arborvitae was just shaking, and they were squawking and gerbling or whatever squirrels do. And they're going at it, and I could see where they were going. One was after the other because I could see their movement in the arborvitae. And one would go a while, and then another one would go, and then they'd get at it, and they'd go at it, and they were mad at each other. Finally, one of the squirrels jumped out the end of the arborvitae, landed on a fence, and ran down the fence. The other one stayed in the arborvitae. He got down, and I saw him. He went down on the ground, and he went up in a tree, in a neighbor's tree, and I could see him very clearly. He got almost to the top, and about 10 feet away in another tree was a huge blue jay, and they started going at it. The squirrel and the blue jay started going at it. The moral of the story, I think, is it's hard enough to get along with our own kind, squirrel to squirrel, let alone people who are different than us, squirrel, blue jay. Verse 2, Philippians chapter 4. "I plead with you, Euodia, and I plead with Syntyche to be of the same mind in Christ. Yes, and I ask you, my true companions, help these women, since they have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers whose names are in the book of life." So in this short passage, we see two ladies that are at odds with each other over a personal matter. The personal matter was escalating to the point that it was affecting the whole church. And the Apostle Paul, who is hundreds of miles away in a Roman prison, hears about this contention between these two believers over in Philippi, and he wants to write and instruct the church on how to handle this dispute before the dispute ruined the church. Paul knew that harmony didn't just happen, but it required hard work. Harmony doesn't just happen. It requires hard work. Christians can become combatants over many things. Politics, Republicans, Democrats, Trumpers, not Trumpers, maskers, not maskers, vacciners, not vacciners, herd immunity, social distancing. Now, this teaching is not specifically about those issues that are plaguing the body of Christ today inside the church, but the principle of a mandated harmony does apply to every conflict a Christian has with another conflict, one-on-one, group-on-group. So you determine today, though I'm not specifically focusing on those issues, you determine today whether this principle of harmony applies to some aspect of your life. So we don't know much about these two ladies, Euodia and Syntyche. We don't know their age. We don't know their marital status. We don't know whether they have children or not. Their names are a little strange to our ear, Euodia. Euodia means sweet fragrance, and Syntyche means good fortune. So sweet fragrance and good fortune were at each other in the Philippian church. They had a disagreement. Now, we know that they're Christians. We know that they are Christians because Paul refers to both of these ladies as be in the same mind as Christ. Now, a person outside the faith can't be in the same mind as Christ. So we know we have two ladies who are at odds who are of the same mind in Christ. Well, at least they're both believers. He also says later that their names are written in the book of life. Now, I know I'm talking to a group of people who are Christians this morning. You've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. It's great to be a Christian. Amen? So we know that these two ladies are Christians inside the church, and they're having a dispute over some matter. Now, we also know that these are workers in the church. These are leaders and committed Christians. Look at verse 3. Yes, and I ask you, my true companions, help these women, since they have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel. When it says contended, it means they're fellow workers. They weren't Christians that had just attended the Philippian church. These were workers in the church. Perhaps, I don't know, perhaps they were part of the founding of the church at Philippi. But sweet fragrance and good fortune, when they were saved, they didn't just sit back and watch. They rolled up their sleeves and they got busy in the church. They were contenders along with the Apostle Paul. Committed Christians who served in the church. Paul found it necessary to tell these two committed Christians to stop fussing and get along. Paul was concerned that the good work that they had already done in the church at Philippi might get undone by their quarreling. These women, now listen to me, these women were not quarreling over a doctrinal matter. Now that's important, you understand, they're not quarreling over a doctrinal matter. They were arguing over a personal matter, a preference of opinion, or something over something not eternal. Paul never hesitated to get involved when doctrine was involved. Boy, many times you just read the book of Galatians and you'll see that when doctrine's involved, when a vital, eternal doctrine or a consequence is involved, Paul jumps in and he takes a side. But he doesn't take a side here. He doesn't take a side. He treats both women equal. I plead with both of you. Now, this was a personal matter about something other than doctrine. I want to emphasize that because in the church today, at least in America, most quarreling, odds people to people, groups to group, is not over doctrine. It's over personal preferences. It's over personal issues. And that is important that we learn that as a body of believers. Most conflict we have with one another is over opinions. It's over preferences or a change that that we don't like or don't agree with. So the church then and the church today was not fighting over the precepts of Christ or the lordship of Christ, but rather bickering over a choice or an option. And when we as believers, true believers, bicker with one another over choices or different options, Satan laughs at the church, literally. He laughs at the church. So when the church lets stuff other than doctrine, are you with me, polarize us, then we stop acting like believers and act like the rest of the world. The Apostle Paul said to the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, "Brothers and sisters, I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you are not ready yet for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. You are still worldly." Truth number one. Pursuing harmony is the priority of every believer, no exception. Pursuing harmony is the priority of every believer, no exception. Now listen. When you are at odds with another believer, you must determine whether that difference of opinion is over, now listen to me, a pimple on your nose, or it's over cancer, one of the two. This will probably be known as the pimple cancer sermon. Say pimple. Say cancer. When Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed his high priestly prayer for you. And he did not pray that you would understand the lordship of Christ. He did not pray that you would perform miracles. And he did not pray that we would preach mightily. But rather he prayed that we would be in harmony with one another. Listen to me. This is why. So that people will believe our testimony about him. Jesus wants us to get along, because if the world sees how we get along, they're more apt to believe Christ is who he said he was. Now listen to me with your heart. Politics, as important as they can be, they have no eternal value. They have no eternal outcome. They have no eternal relevancy. Masks versus not masks. As important as that can be, it has no eternal relevancy. It has no eternal outcome. Those subjects are pimples. Say pimples. Pimples. They're not cancer. Say cancer. Titus 3:9 says, "Avoid foolish controversy." Now, when the church is made up, and is always made up in any century, of people who may disagree on things, the Bible says that foolish controversy, other than eternal consequences, that foolish controversies do not edify, they're not productive, and they potentially are divisive. So if what you're at odds with another group of Christians or another Christian is not of eternal value, it's a pimple. Stop pecking at it. If it's cancer, if it has eternal consequences, then go at it until that difference is aligned with what Scripture says. Harmony is the priority of our triune God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. He says, "I ask you, my true companions, help these women, since they have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel." These women, of course, were part of this conflict, but the Apostle Paul calls the rest of the church to get involved to resolve this other than doctrinal statement, this other than doctrinal problem. Truth number two, Satan's work is easy anyone can do it. That is profound. Satan's work is easy. Anyone can do it. 1 Corinthians 1:10 says, focus on what you all have in common and not your differences. Truth number three. Be realistic about your expectations of one another. You know, I read something the other day, and I think I've read this in the past, but I read it fresh the other day, that Hell's Angels motorcycle and the church have something in common. They both require that you confess how bad you are in order to be part of the organization. Now, the church is full of sinners. You are a sinner, especially the person sitting next to you. You are sinners. It's not ideal, but it's realistic. It's realistic. So don't expect others in the church to be more mature spiritually than you are mature spiritually. Colossians 3 says, choose to encourage one another. There is a choice. Choose to encourage one another. That's our mission, to encourage one another. These ladies chose to take on a critical spirit. It was their choice to do so because it wasn't over doctrine. It wasn't over eternal consequences. Criticalness comes natural to every one of us. It's just part of our fallen nature. Now, God is very blunt in Romans chapter 14. He says, accept one another whose faith is weak. One person's faith allows them to eat anything, but another whose faith is weak eats only vegetables. The one who eats everything must not treat with contempt the one who does not. And the one who does not eat meat must not judge the one who does. And I may have said this not too long ago, but a buzzard and a bumblebee both find what they're looking for. A buzzard is seeking something dead, something that's decayed, has stench to it, is rot. And you know what? He finds that because that's what he's looking for. The bumblebee, on the other hand, finds what it's looking for. The bumblebee is looking for a flower with sweet nectar in it. So don't be a buzzard believer. Say pimple. Say cancer. Gossip is listening to or passing on information when you're neither part of the problem or part of the solution. In Leviticus chapter 19, verse 16 says, stop telling tales about each other. Stop telling tales about each other. Proverbs 20:19, avoid someone with a big mouth. Can I get an amen? Not too loud, huh? Yeah. Hebrews 13:17 says this, have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority because they keep watch over you as those who must give an account. Not may give an account, might give an account, who must give an account. Do this so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no benefit to you. Now, I'm going to say something that this church seems to have a good handle on, and that is the knowledge that elders and pastors are not employees of the church. We are not employees of the church. We are not here to please people. We are here to please God. Now listen, we are going to have a pastor in a matter of a few days. And I'm so excited we're getting Jerry Davidson. He is an awesome man. He's an awesome leader. And we want you to respect that leadership. We elders and pastors will stand before God, this says, and give an account of how we shepherded Rockwood Church of God. I will be held accountable for the decisions I've made regarding Church of God. Pimples and cancers. I will be held accountable. I'm not kidding. I'm serious. But you will also be accountable before God on how you focused on and promoted harmony at Rockwood Church of God. I will keep harmony in our church. I will keep harmony in our church. Say that with me. I will keep harmony in our church. Thank you. By the way, I'm not at all suggesting that you follow a pastor or an elder blindly. You already know I'm not saying that. That we have faults. I mean, look at Pastor Frank. He's a wild card, isn't he? Pastor Frank. Oh, he's grinning at me right now. Thumbs up. You know, no, but respect. And as we get a new pastor, respect the leadership. Respect him. Truth number four. You must be in harmony with heaven. You must be in harmony with heaven. It's been said, not for better legislation, but for better legislators. Not for better business, but for better businessmen. Not for better banking, but for better bankers. Not for better preaching, but for better preachers. In other words, man's greatest problem is man. James chapter 4 says, harmony with heaven is only reached as you submit yourself to God. Now listen to me. You cannot have harmony with one another as believers and harmony with heaven without going through the tunnel of submission. I'm serious. I'm not making that up. Let me read to you an illustration about being critical. I'm not going to even comment on it because it'll preach itself. A man and a wife once pulled into a gas station to refuel their car. As the tank was being refilled, the station attendant washed the windshield. When he was finished, the driver of the car said, "The window is still dirty. Wash it again." "Yes, sir," the attendant answered as he scrubbed the windshield a second time. He looked closely for any bugs or dirt that he may have missed. When he finished, the man in the car became angry. "It's still dirty," he yelled. "Don't you know how to wash a windshield? Do it again." The attendant cleaned the windshield a third time, carefully looking for any place he might have missed, but could find no messy spots anywhere. By now, the driver was fuming. He screamed, "This windshield is still filthy. I'm going to talk to your boss to make sure that you don't work here another day. You are the lousiest windshield washer I have ever seen." As he was about to get out of his car, his wife reached over and removed his glasses. She carefully wiped them with a tissue and then put them back on his face. The driver embarrassingly slumped down into his seat as he observed a spotless windshield. Critical people view others through their own dirty glasses. You guys, don't always draw a line in the sand over pimples. Don't draw a line in the sand over non-doctrinal issues. Don't make other than non-doctrinal issues a hill to die on. Seriously, a lack of harmony will damage our mission. I'm being serious. I'm not kidding. I'm not making this up. He is the reason we come in here. He is the reason we sing and lift our hands. He is the reason we serve one another and that we have salvation and freedom in Christ. All of our actions are to bring him glory. So make harmony a priority. Don't be critical. Be realistic in your expectations of others and flow with criticism of you. I'm going to read to you an old Aesop's fable. Probably been a while since you read one of those. Aesop's fable about an old man and his grandson who made their way into town with the donkey. The grandfather put the boy on the donkey until he heard people say, "Look at that selfish child making that old man walk." The grandfather couldn't stand to have people criticize his grandson. So he asked the boy to walk while he rode. Then he heard people say, "Look at that selfish old man riding and making that poor little boy walk." So he got off, and they both walked. Then he heard people say, "Look at those stupid two people. They have a donkey, and they're not even using it." So both the man and the boy rode the donkey together. And then they heard people say, "Look at those cruel people abusing that poor animal. They're going to break the back with that load." They finally walked into town carrying the donkey. Don't carry the donkey. Some criticism of you is going to happen. It's inevitable. It's just a reality. You don't always have to respond at all to unjustified criticism. Final truth. One song, many voices. One song, many voices. If I had Ruth Ann come up to the piano and play a song that was only one note, the whole song was just one note, it would be less than lovely. It would be monotone. It would be monotonous. But if she came up and if she blended the many notes and combined all the elements into the whole of the song, the performance is beautiful. One song, many voices. You and I are in the same boat. You and I are in the same boat. I've pointed this out throughout my 35 years of ministry, but in 1950, when this church was built, the sanctuary was to look like a boat. Like an ark, if you will, a boat. And as you look at the ceiling, you will see wooden planks, the bottom of the boat, and the arches in our sanctuary are the ribbings of that boat. We are all in the same boat. If we're all in the same boat, we need to be rowing in the same direction. Understand the teaching on harmony? Thanks. We want you to stand, and Ruth Ann will lead us in a final song.
Let's sing that beautiful song, "We Are One in the Bond of Love."
We are